Good afternoon from Brooklyn Bridge Park. On the update this Friday, the battle for control over New York City is happening once again. Yes, the governor and Mayor de Blasio are at it again. The mayor today unveiled a new set of data thresholds that will determine when to loosen restrictions imposed during this pandemic, only to have the governor say about a half hour later that it will be up to the state, not the city, to make those decisions. We'll have the latest details. In other news, Joe Biden's campaign wouldn't let reporters listen to a Q&A session during a virtual fundraiser with Wall Street donors. Is it a break from transparency? The NHL is taking a major step toward formulating the remainder of their season. A person with knowledge of the situation tells the AP that the NHL's Players Association's executive board is voting on a 2014 playoff proposal as they return to play format. And much of the country remains unlikely to venture out to bars, restaurants, theaters, or gyms anytime soon, despite state and local officials increasingly allowing businesses to reopen. About 50% of those who regularly went to restaurants, exercise or a gym, or traveled would go back if they could. This is the update, Friday, May the 22nd, 2020.
This is the update with Brandon Julian. Reporting tonight on the road.
And a very pleasant Friday to you, TGIF, Brandon Julian, you're the host of the update, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop is a pit stop in Brooklyn before we start our Staten Island series after Memorial Day on Monday. Today's road stop, Brooklyn Bridge Park in the Brooklyn Heights section with overlapping views of the New York City skyline. You can see the Empire State Building, the One World Trade, and even see down to the Staten Island Ferry, which, of course, as I said before, we'll be starting our Staten Island series starting on Tuesday. We have a lot of news to get to this Friday, however, including the latest coronavirus developments. In case you've been paying attention, when it comes to who has control over this city during this pandemic, the mayor and the governor have both been going back and forth about who really has the control. And yet, not surprisingly, the mayor and the governor are back at it once again. In his daily briefing today, the mayor unveiled a new set of data thresholds to help determine when to loosen restrictions that have been imposed during this pandemic, only to have Governor Cuomo in his daily briefing about a half hour later say that it will be up to the state, not the city, to make those decisions. Both the governor's office and Mayor de Blasio have been saying that the city is on target to begin reopening its economy in the first half of June. The mayor said today that in order to enter the first phase of reopening, the city must stay below the thresholds regarding new hospitalizations for the virus and the number of patients in intensive care. More than 4,300 recovering patients were sent to New York's already vulnerable nursing homes under a controversial state directive that was ultimately scrapped amid criticisms that it was possibly accelerating the outbreaks. That's according to an Associated Press tally that was conducted after the state declined to release its own survey. Whatever the full number may be, the March 25th order requiring nursing homes to take recovering COVID-19 patients from hospitals has become a thorny political issue for the governor, who abruptly reversed the policy back on May 10th. New York, of course, leads the nation in nursing home deaths with about 5,700. The summer school verdict is finally in, and the governor says that summer school in the state of New York will be conducted remotely, citing the risks of returning children to the classroom. The governor said yesterday that it's too early, though, to make a decision about the fall semester. School buildings in the state have been closed since March. The governor says it's still unclear how to keep students safe from infection in the classroom and on buses. He also mentioned the increasing awareness about a syndrome affecting children that is thought to be linked to COVID-19. Pediatric multisystem inflammatory syndrome affects blood vessels and organs and has symptoms including prolonged fever, abdominal pain, and vomiting. There are digital fundraising campaigns, GoFundMe pages for medical care, scrolled signs at apartment elevator banks offering help grocery shopping. People are reaching out to others, of course, to help others during the pandemic. And some say it's helping them regain a sense of control in their lives. While the traditional philanthropy appears to be experiencing a precipitous drop in donations, individuals often say that volunteering has helped starve off depression. And psychologists say that science backs it up. Helping others really does make you feel better. Across the river from us in Jersey City in New Jersey, when Chef Kwat Khan died from the virus at the age of 76, he left behind his wife, 3 children, 7 grandchildren, and a legacy of connections. His daughter, Sabila Khan, says her father spent years trying to help other Pakistani immigrants living in Jersey City, just across the Hudson River from here in New York City. Khan hosted events on how to apply for driver's licenses and encourage dialogue between communities of different faiths and cultures after the 9/11 attacks. Since his death last month, Sabila Khan says that she has taken comfort from people who told their stories about how her father impacted their lives. Back here on our side of the river, authorities say that a Chinese man who tried to get $20 million in federal aid for distressed businesses falsely claimed that he represented New York State in trying to procure COVID-19 tests and PPEs. The FBI and federal prosecutors say Muge Ma claimed he was paying millions of dollars to hundreds of workers before his arrest yesterday. But they say he was his only true employee, working out of his posh Manhattan condominium. Manhattan U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Berman called the alleged crimes audacious and callous. An email seeking comment was sent to Maz's lawyer, who told a magistrate judge that their client has no criminal history. He was denied bail, though, after a prosecutor said that he was a flight risk. There is other news of this Friday to address, and we will address those when the Update with Brandon Julian OTR podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just 30 seconds.
What can I possibly do to make this stressful time a little better? Here's one thing I found. It's a small thing, a simple thing, a remarkable thing. Smile. You can share a smile from more than 6 feet apart. You can share it socially with the whole world. In fact, right now, I'm smiling at you. And I hope you're smiling back, because smiling is in you, from PassItOn.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Brooklyn Bridge Park on this edition of the Update OTR. Some of the other news of this Friday. In Long Island, out of Amityville, a man was stabbed to death by his adult son yesterday while on a Zoom video chat, according to police, leading to 911 calls from people who watched the horror unfold on their screens. Thomas Scully Powers, age 32, fled out a window after attacking his 72-year-old father, Dwight Powers, around noon at their home near South Oaks Hospital in Amityville, according to the Suffolk County Police. In Washington, Joe Biden's campaign in Decision 2020 wouldn't let reporters listen to a Q&A session during a virtual fundraiser with Wall Street donors. It was a break from its usual procedures and from the presumptive Democratic presidential nominees' past pronouncements about promoting transparency. Biden's campaign suggested yesterday that such limits on the press would be common going forward as Biden prepares to square off against President Trump in November. Biden deputy campaign manager Rufus Gifford says, quote, "Tonight's event was a new format as we enter a new phase of the general election campaign. Trump generally does not allow press into his fundraisers, though he has occasionally done so. Back here in the city, there were five ducklings that were going through the worst days of their new lives. They've been rescued from the treacherous Central Park waters in which a snapping turtle is believed to have killed their mother. The baby mallards were floating bait for what lies beneath in one of the manufactured ponds of New York City's this nature haven. City parks and recreation rangers attempted to rescue the birds back on Wednesday, but their efforts were no match for the bolting legs of the mallards. Rangers were back at it all day yesterday, finally capturing them with a net in the late afternoon. The birds were transferred to the nonprofit Wild Bird Fund, the city's lone wildlife rehabilitation facility. Also, the president's longtime personal lawyer and fixer, Michael Cohen, was released from federal prison yesterday to serve the remainder of his sentence at home. Cohen has been serving a federal prison sentence at FCI Otisville in New York after pleading guilty to numerous charges, including campaign finance fraud and lying to Congress. Cohen arrived at his Manhattan apartment building around 10:40 in the morning, wearing a surgical mask and a baseball cap. Cohen's release on furlough is part of an attempt to reduce the spread of the virus in federal prisons. And finally, an off-duty NYPD officer was charged yesterday with murder in the shooting death of a longtime friend on Long Island. The state attorney general's office charged Officer Eric Allen after investigating the May 12 shooting under its authority to review killings of unarmed civilians by law enforcement officers. Allen is expected to be arraigned, was expected to be arraigned yesterday. Messages seeking comment were left with his union and the NYPD. Time for us to step aside for a moment. When we return on the update this Friday from Brooklyn Bridge Park in the Brooklyn Heights section of Brooklyn, of course, we'll help you get around with the MTA Essential Service Plan. We're going to talk some sports, including how the NHL taking a major step toward formulating the remainder of their season. We'll talk about what happened on this day in history. And then we will address the latest national news, including how overseas a jetliner carrying 98 people crashed into a crowded neighborhood near the airport in Pakistan's port city of Karachi after an apparent engine failure during landing. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Sterling, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now's the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Pass it on.
Now's the time to stay apart. Social distancing. But I'm adding something else. Pull together. What's pulling together while we're staying apart? It's calling family to check in on them. It's waving to your neighbor. It's the things we should have been doing all along. And when this tragedy passes and we're able to come together, we'll be stronger than ever because we've already pulled together. Stay apart. Pull together.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
Of all the radio stations in New York, we just happen to be one of them. This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for traffic and weather together.
Because the MTA is running an essential service plan for essential employees only, service on most lines will be running a frequency of at least every 10 to 30 minutes. Also, there is no scheduled service on the B, Grand Central Shuttle, W, and Z trains. For alternate service, you can use the 7, C, D, J, N, Q, or R trains. As a reminder, the subways close every night for cleaning from 1 to 5 a.m. for disinfecting. For alternate plans, visit mta.info/overnight.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
Let us talk some sports on this Friday. And we've learned, sadly, that the Hall of Fame basketball coach Jerry Sloan has died. His death was announced by the Utah Jazz, the team he took to the NBA Finals in 1997 and 1998. The Jazz say he died today from complications related to Parkinson's disease and Lewy body dementia. Sloan spent 23 seasons coaching the Jazz, and the team finished below 500 in only one of those years. Sloan won 1,221 games in his career, the fourth highest total in NBA history. Jerry Sloan was 78 years old. He'll be deeply missed. And the NHL, they're taking a major step forward toward formulating the remainder of their season. A person with knowledge of the situation is telling the Associated Press that the NHL Players Association's executive board is voting on a 2014 playoff proposal as they return to play format. Votes of the results could be in as early as tonight. Under the proposal plan, the top four teams in each of the Eastern and Western conferences would play each other for seeding, while the remaining 16 teams face off in a best-of-five series play-in round to set the final 16. That one means buys for Boston, Tampa Bay, Washington, and Philadelphia in the East, and the defending champions St. Louis, Colorado, Vegas, and Dallas in the West. And even if the executive board votes to approve the format, the league and the players' union still need to negotiate other details, including health and safety protocols. But the format is a substantial piece of the return-to-play puzzle to award the Stanley Cup this year. When we return on the update this Friday from Brooklyn Bridge Park in the Brooklyn Heights section of Brooklyn, of course, we'll address what happened on this day in history, and then we will address the latest national news, including how, as pandemic restrictions are easing across the U.S., millions of Americans are set to take the tentative steps outdoors for Memorial Day, the traditional start of summer. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
Keep it tuned in to WKRB. The update returns in a moment.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Notice lately how empty everything is? Empty streets, empty stores, empty schools. But I'm trying to change these empty times by being full of gratitude. Gratitude means saying thanks to the garbage collector, the medical providers, and all those who are helping every day. Things may appear empty around us, but when we're filled with gratitude, nothing is completely empty inside us. Gratitude is in you. From PassItOn.com.
From New York City, doing business in the same location since 1904, this is The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, of course, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop, a mini pit stop in Brooklyn Bridge Park in the Brooklyn Heights section of Brooklyn, of course. Memorial Day weekend is about to dawn upon us, and after Memorial Day weekend, we are starting our Staten Island series of shows. Yes, for the next 2 weeks, I believe it's a little over 2 weeks, we'll check our calendar, but for about 2 weeks, it's Monday through Saturday with the shows out in Staten Island. Yes, I know my wife will be very excited to hear about this. It'll be very exciting for her to hear about this, because it'll be nice to go out to Staten Island on a more repetitive basis than only going once every so often. And then after Staten Island, we have our Brooklyn series of shows. And then any other shows we've missed because of rain, we are cycling back around to those afterwards. Let us address what happened on this day in history for this May the 22nd. The highlight of this day came in 1968 when the nuclear-powered submarine USS Scorpion, with 99 men on board, sank in the Atlantic Ocean. The remains of the sub were later found on the ocean floor about 400 miles southwest of the Azores. In 1761, the first American life insurance policy was issued in Philadelphia to a Reverend Francis Allison. His premium was £6 per year. In 1813, composer Richard Wagner was born in Lipizige. I'm not getting this right. In Germany. In 1915, the Lassen Peak volcano in Northern California exploded, devastating nearby areas, but causing no deaths. In 1939, the foreign ministers of Germany and Italy, Joachim von Ribbentrop and Galeazzo Ciano, signed a pact of steel committing the two countries to a military alliance. In 1960, an earthquake of magnitude 9.5, the strongest ever measured, struck southern Chile, claiming some 1,655 lives. In 1962, Continental Airlines Flight 11, en route from Chicago to Kansas City, Missouri, crashed after a bomb apparently brought on board by a passenger exploded, killing all 45 occupants of the Boeing 707. In 1964, President Lyndon B. Johnson, speaking at the University of Michigan, outlined the goals of his Great Society, saying that it, quote, rests on abundance and liberty for all, and, quote, demands an end to poverty and racial justice. Injustice, I should say. In 1992, after a reign lasting nearly 30 years, Johnny Carson hosted NBC's Tonight Show for the final time. Jay Leno took over as host 3 days later. In 1998, a federal judge ruled that Secret Service agents could be compelled to testify before the grand jury in the Monica Lewinsky investigation. Also, voters in Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland turned out to cast ballots giving resounding approval to a Northern Ireland peace accord. In 2011, a tornado devastated Joplin, Missouri, with winds up to 250 miles per hour, claiming at least 159 lives and destroying about 8,000 homes and businesses. In 2014, Thailand's military seized power in a bloodless coup. And in 2017, a suicide bomber set off an improvised explosive device that killed 22 people at the end of an Ariana Grande concert in Manchester, England. When we return on the update this Friday from Brooklyn Bridge Park in the Brooklyn Heights section of Brooklyn, we will address the latest national news, including how, as much as the country, they remain unlikely to venture out to bars, restaurants, theaters, or gyms anytime soon, despite state and local officials increasingly allowing businesses to reopen. We'll tell you the results of a new survey by the Associated Press and the Center for Public Affairs Research when the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
They say singing can help you remember things, so here's some tips for parents out there during these tough times. Number one.
Make sure your kids wash their hands for 20 seconds after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside.
Two.
Virtual playdates, social and physical distancing can help save lives.
Three.
Tell them they're safe and show your love and pride. Yes, we'll get through this together. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Pass it on.
This time of upheaval is causing me to look a little deeper inside myself, looking for some goodness. And this is what I've found. I'm more aware of my neighbor's well-being. I'm saying thanks to those who help keep my life as normal as possible. My mail carrier, my grocery cashier, my delivery person. I find myself caring about others instead of just looking out for myself. And oh, my goodness, does it feel good. Goodness is in you.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
Listen to us on Mixcloud to learn more about the stories that matter to you. And did you miss out on any episode of The Update? Listen to us anytime at mixcloud.com/the WKRB update.
Welcome back to The Update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today, a pit stop in Brooklyn Bridge Park in the Brooklyn Heights section of Brooklyn before we start our Staten Island series after the Memorial Day weekend. Let's address the latest national news on this Friday. We will begin overseas in Pakistan with a tragedy as a jetliner carrying 98 people crashed in a crowded neighborhood near the airport in Pakistan's port city of Karachi after an apparent engine failure during landing. Officials said there were at least two survivors on the plane, and it was unknown how many people on the ground were hurt. The mayor says at least five houses were destroyed. The pilot of Pakistani International Airlines Flight 8303 was heard transmitting a mayday to the tower shortly before the crash of the Airbus A320, which was flying from Lahore to Karachi. Video on social media also appeared to show the plane flying low over a residential area with flames shooting from one of its engines. As we head toward this Memorial Day weekend, and as the pandemic lockdowns are easing across the U.S., millions of Americans are set to take tentative steps outdoors for the traditional start of summer. But public health officials are having some deep concerns that if people congregate in crowds or engage in other risky behavior, the long weekend could cause the virus to come roaring back. Medical experts warn that the virus won't take a holiday. The CDC continues to recommend staying home, avoiding crowds, and connecting with family by phone or video chat. Specialists advise that those who do celebrate maintain social distancing, wear masks, and avoid sharing food and drinks. In Washington, there's a new study by the survey, from the Associated Press and the Center for Public Affairs Research that says that much of the country remains unlikely to venture out to bars, restaurants, theaters, or gyms anytime soon, despite state and local officials increasingly allowing businesses to reopen. Just 42% of those who went to concerts, movies, theaters, or sporting events at least monthly before the outbreak say they'd do so in the next few weeks if they could. And only about half of those who went regularly to restaurants, exercised at a gym, or traveled would go back if they could. And that hesitancy could muffle any recovery from the sharpest and swiftest economic downturn in U.S. history. And finally, in other news, out of Decatur, in Georgia, the Atlanta area district attorney that's now prosecuting the fatal shooting of Ahmaud Arbery spoke for the first time about the case in a news conference today, pledging to, quote, make sure that we find justice for a broken family and community. Georgia Bureau of Investigation Director Vic Reynolds spoke alongside Cobb County District Attorney Joyette Holmes, saying that, quote, at this point we feel confident that the individuals who need to be charged have been charged. Their news conference followed the arrest of 50-year-old William Roddy Bryan Jr. on charges of felony murder and criminal attempt to commit false imprisonment. Bryan recorded a video of Gregory and Travis McMichael confronting Arbery. Our thought for today is from the Bishop Fulton J. Sheen, the American religious leader, born in 1895 and died in 1979. Our thought for today is, pride is an admission of weakness. It secretly fears all competition and dreads all rivals. I'll let you guys ponder on that, as we say in the words of Walter Cronkite, that is the way it is. Friday, May the 22nd, 2020. That is the update on this Friday from Brooklyn Bridge Park. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you joining us. And in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news is good news, I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck. Be safe. Be well. Have a safe Memorial Day weekend. And we start our Staten Island series on Tuesday. I hope you can join me then.